Today we're talking about chest pain, and I'm joined by Dr. Christian Knutson, Assistant Professor of Emergency Medicine and Medical Director of the EMS Education Programs at SUNY Upstate Medical University. Chest pain can occur for many reasons and may start at any time of day or night, leading to the need to see a doctor. Many times this means a confusing and uncomfortable trip to the hospital with many concerns and questions about the causes and what might happen next. As we learn today, in today's segment, there are a lot of causes of chest pain, but not all of them are life-threatening. Unfortunately, it may take some work on the part of the doctors and medical team at the hospital to determine the cause. Dr. Knutson, what kind of chest pain is there, and what are we talking about here?
Chest pain is a difficult symptom to assess sometimes. There are lots of different types of chest pain. The one classically you see on TV or if you watch movies is someone who has acute heart attack where a person will grab their chest, have squeezing or heavy chest pain. Pain goes to their jaw, goes to their arm, goes to their back. They get sweaty, lightheaded, and weak. And that's the very typical story of a bad heart attack. And that's the worst case scenario. There are lots of other causes, problems of chest pain, whether it be heartburn, burning in the chest, pneumonia, shortness of breath and a cough with chest pain, muscle strain, people who work too hard to do hard jobs for a living and cause chest pain with that, and blood clots in the lung, which are clots usually from the legs that go to lungs and cause pain and shortness of breath as well. So it's a very broad list of problems.
So when we see these patients in the emergency department, they do have different conditions to be considered. But what about the type of pain? Does it matter? Do we need to know how what it feels like to them? Does it matter if it's sharp, dull, where it's located, or where it goes?
It does. Like I said, the typical heart attack is usually a squeezing or heaviness feeling in the chest. And it does go to the neck and the arms and the back sometimes. Some people may just have simple burning of the chest. You know, they eat spicy food. They have too much food on holidays. And just have some mild burning or burping. That's important to know to differentiate serious heart attacks from heartburn. Or where the pain is, over the chest or the back or the sides also helps us as well.
Is it possible for someone to say, oh, well, I know this has got to be heartburn because I took some Mylanta and it went away, so I'm not going to worry at all? Or is it a little more complicated than that?
It can be more complicated. Oftentimes, people with early heart attacks or mild heart attacks or elderly people can just have heartburn symptoms as the symptom of their heart attack. That's why it can be so hard to tell who's very sick or who's not when you come to the ER sometimes. Typically, there are some other symptoms with it. People who have heartburn symptoms that don't get better with taking Tums or antacids will get a little shortness of breath and symptoms. The neck, the arm, the back pain, lightheadedness or weakness that aren't typical for heartburn, maybe something more serious.
So those pains can be with it. So they have chest pain or chest discomfort, right? Because it doesn't necessarily have to be pain
right. Of
any kind. And you're saying if it's associated with neck pain or jaw pain or back pain or arm pain, that may mean to them, to you in the emergency department, that in fact, that's a little more serious. That's probably not some simple issue that could be an over-the-counter medication to take care of. That probably requires further evaluation.
And
I hate to, belabor this point, but you know what? I think this is important to talk about. When we say this all the time, what is a heart attack? Because there's chest pain, there's heart attack, and then there's cardiac arrest. And I think, unfortunately, when we talk about these things, we sometimes interchange them, but really we mean something different when we say heart attack. What do you mean when you mean, say, heart attack?
When we say heart attack, we mean there is a blockage in the arteries of the heart, which is either slowing down or stopping blood going to the muscle of the heart. And there can be different degrees of heart attacks. We call angina, people who walk and get chest pain, and they get heart attack symptoms, and then they sit down or stop and those go away, that's usually a sign of a blockage that's slowly getting worse. Versus someone who is doing an activity, playing golf, walking down the street, who gets a sudden onset of chest pain and the other heart attack symptoms, we think of a sudden blockage where a clot forms in their arteries and there's a very sudden blockage of blood flow to the heart. And that's very serious.
And that's stopping the oxygen to getting to the muscle and could cause permanent damage and maybe even that next step, cardiac arrest.
Right. When the heart is very sensitive to oxygen delivery, and when it does not have oxygen, it does not work well. So once the blood flow stops, it's very time dependent. So the longer the lack of oxygen goes, the more heart damage there could be. And it could go from just damage of the heart wall, so it won't pump as well, up until the whole heart stops beating. Patients lose pulses, and they have a cardiac arrest. They lose consciousness and don't have any pulses.
And that's time to get 911, do CPR, and we need an AED, don't we?
We do. Well, people need 911 activated quickly, hands-only CPR, where bystanders can start doing CPR. They don't have to worry about doing mouth-to-mouth breathing, but just hands-only CPR until EMS arrives is crucial. And is getting an AED very common? Supermarkets, banks, churches, public places, usually very well marked, people know where they are if you ask people who work there. And early attachment of the AED with CPR has saved lives.
And a lot of times that starts with chest pain, so this is a really important thing to be talking about. You're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Dr. Derek Cooney, and along with me is Dr. Christian Knutson, assistant professor of emergency medicine, and he's also on the Regional Emergency Medical Advisory Committee. And you work at a PCI center. What's a PCI center?
PCI centers are places where they can do coronary catheterizations quickly.
What does that mean?
So if you have a clot in your heart, in heart arteries, which blocks blood flow, we have cardiologists who can come in. The ER doctors will see you, they will get an EKG immediately, recognize you're having a heart attack, will call a cardiologist in immediately, and very quickly you go from the ER up to a cardiac care suite, and they place a tube that goes in through your artery of your thigh usually, and they pass wires into your heart, find the blockage, and either put a stent or a balloon in to get that blockage to go away.
So that's not at every hospital. That's specific hospitals. And so that's something that's been shown to be very important to do quickly. Now, you're a medical director for ambulances and fire departments. What do you tell people about what's going to happen when that ambulance gets there? Because presumably you have chest pain that's significant. They're going to call 911. Ambulance is going to show up. And the hope is that they're going to get to, if they're having a major heart attack, then they're going to get this PCI, this percutaneous coronary intervention, which is when they go into those arteries of the heart and open it up so the blood and oxygen can get there. What's going to happen with your fire department ambulance gets there? What's going to happen next?
The paramedics and EMTs are all trained to recognize heart attack symptoms. So either mild up to severe symptoms, they will recognize what's going on. They'll do an EKG using their cardiac monitors either in the house or in the ambulance.
So that's sort of that's an electrical tracing of what's going on in the heart.
Right. So they can quickly recognize heart attacks, and they'll treat you for the pain. They'll put an IV in place to give you fluids to help support your blood pressure. They'll give you nitroglycerin, usually a tab or a spray under the tongue to help the chest pain go away. And most importantly, give you aspirin. 2 or 4 baby aspirin has been shown to decrease the death rate from heart attacks. So whether someone at home takes aspirin or the paramedics will give you aspirin or the ER will give you aspirin when you're seen. So you can expect a lot of things to be done to you, IV, EKG, and some medicines to get you better. And the paramedics will, of course, take you somewhere where they can do these heart interventions if they recognize a heart attack.
What if let's say I'm out and about and I'm with my loved one and they are having chest pain and we have our car. Is there some reason why people should know they shouldn't try to drive themselves or drive their family member or friend to the hospital? Obviously, it sounds like there's a lot going on, but what other risks are there to just trying to drive to the hospital?
People, for some reason, don't like calling for ambulances because they feel like they're being a bother. But for chest pain, it is crucial to call for an ambulance. if your loved one is driving you and you get sicker in the car, you can't receive any treatment. If your heart suddenly stops, if your chest pain gets worse, you pass out, one, you can't receive care, and two, if someone, your loved one's driving you, they may be paying more attention to you than driving the car. And there's always a chance of getting a car accident. If you call for an ambulance, they can take care of you, keep you safe, get you the best care possible while taking you to the hospital safely.
What about when we call the ambulance and the ambulance gets there and our loved one says, well, I don't want to go to the hospital. This is chest pain. It'll pass. What do we do then?
Well,
how do we explain that?
Well, I think the paramedics, EMTs, in conversation with the patient or speaking to the doctors at the hospital, talk with the patient and tell them the worst case scenario. If this is a true heart attack, you need health care right away. This is not something you want to wait for to see your doctor the next day for. If you call your doctor, they'll tell you the same thing. Go to the hospital, get blood tests, get an EKG, get your pain treated, and likely be admitted to the hospital for further care and tests. So when people don't want to go to the hospital, that's the worst thing you can do. The paramedics and the family should really push their loved ones to get care right then.
So significant chest pain, we call 911, the ambulance takes us straight to a hospital designated to take care of this for us because time matters. We don't want to lose heart muscle. But what if they get there and they say, well, this isn't. When you get to the hospital and you get the test done, you get the electrocardiogram, mm-hmm. you get the blood test, you get the chest x-ray, and then they say, well, it's not, what if I say, well, is it a heart attack? And they say, well, it's not a heart attack, but we're going to meet you at the hospital anyway. Why would I get admitted to the hospital anyway?
There are some limitations to the tests we do in the emergency department. One of the big tests we do is a heart test called troponin. It's a blood test to look for heart damage. And that test may not rise right away if you had a heart attack. It may take hours for us to find a change in that blood test. So if you come to the hospital and you have an EKG where you're not having a large heart attack, your x-ray looks good, your blood test has not changed yet, we still want to keep you in the hospital to do more tests, follow that troponin level, and maybe get a stress test the next day so that if we find a problem, we can take care of it during that admission.
And during that admission, if they find something, then cardiologists are available. There's an intensive care unit specifically for heart problems, right?
Yes.
And then there's the cath lab, that catheterization lab, in case it turns out there is a blockage of the artery.
And hopefully you come in, you stay, there's no problems, you go home the next day. But if there is a true problem and we find other issues, you're kept safe, and we get you care quickly.
What are the other things? I mean, you're doing a lot of testing in the emergency department, and we specifically talked about heart attacks, but what are the other things that cause chest pain that you might discover that if you don't go to the emergency department, you wouldn't know you had and could be treated?
I think the three things we have to watch out for: pneumonia. Typically, if other symptoms we watch out for, the chest pain, the shortness of breath, and a fever. Some people can have a collapsed lung called a pneumothorax. While rare, it is life-threatening, and you need care right away to treat that. Something called a pulmonary embolism. Again, clots in your legs, your arms that go to your lungs. That could be a little more tricky to diagnose. And that, if it goes unrecognized, could lead to worse problems.
All right, so there's some other life-threatening things. And then there's things like pneumonia that maybe we could treat and
yes.
let you go home.
Absolutely.
I'm Dr. Derek Cooney, and my guest today was Dr. Christian Knutson. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.